2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul is writing, of course, to the church. Verse number 1. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, you see that in verse number 1 and verse number 2, he's requested us twice already. I beseech you that you may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if it were, or as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, watch this, every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Those are two words that most Baptist churches don't like to hear. Disobedient and obedient. Amen? There they are. That's the Bible. So I want to try to share with you tonight that verse number 3 is going to be my text verse on our weapons. I preached Sunday night on the purging of the church and how it's necessary that a church be purged. Amen? We have to keep the sin out. Amen? The church has to be purged. God has instructed the man of God, the pastor, to deal with those situations as they come. Also, the Word of God teaches every believer to purge out that sin, the old man, that sin in your life. You keep it out of your life. Amen? And don't let it get into church. Don't allow it to ruin your life. Don't allow it to ruin your family. Don't let the devil steal your joy because of some sin that you've been tempted by and fell into that snare, that trap of the devil. Amen? Listen, I know that's real. That's not just something we talk about. That's real. Now, the devil will do everything he can to get us to take the bait. Amen? And to fail and to fall and to commit an act of sin. This passage of Scripture, it's kind of following that thread there with the purging of the sins. But here Paul is talking about verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's a deep subject. That's a bold statement, amen, and that's a true statement. For we are walking in the flesh, amen. Whatever step we take, we're walking in the flesh. But we don't fight in the flesh. Amen? There's a lot of truths here. Let me share this with you. We conduct war with non-flesh weapons. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 6, quickly. Ephesians chapter number 6. We conduct our war with non-flesh weapons. Right? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So we must conduct our war with non-flesh weapons. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh. So let's stop right there and deal with that for just a moment. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war with weapons of the flesh. And we don't fight against flesh. So therefore, we don't fight against each other. Amen? Because we're what? Walking in the flesh. So we don't war against the flesh. You're not my enemy. Amen? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not each other's enemy. We don't war against the flesh. You're not my battle. Amen? Does that make sense? I think it makes pretty good sense. It's Bible sense anyway. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then we're encouraged there in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Boy, that's a great statement for our day, that we do all to stand. Amen? Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Keep standing. But we're talking about the battle and the warfare that we as believers have. Every day of our life, there's a battle. Every morning you get up, there's a battle. There's a battle for your mind. Amen? The devil wants to destroy it. He wants to confuse it. There's a battle for your soul. If you're saved tonight, then the devil can't get your soul. Hallelujah. Bless the holy name of the Lord. Amen. If you're saved tonight, there's not a battle for your soul, but there is a battle for your life. The life that you now live, Paul said, the life I now live is Christ. Amen. So he's already dedicated his life. He's going to live for Christ, but yet he still has to war against the flesh. He has to war against the enemy and all the attacks and all the temptations that comes with that. And so we find in this passage of Scripture, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, let me read you this verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Let me back up there and read this to you real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom." It's not of the wisdom of the flesh. Amen. Y'all see that? You hear that? If you're following along, you see that. Amen. "Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." And so we find in this passage of Scripture that we don't do what we do and say what we say because of fleshly wisdom. Now, there's a lot of folks that have fleshly wisdom. Amen. They got doctor's degrees and master's. My wife's got a master's degree in teaching, and she's got some fleshly wisdom. Amen. And she teaches the kids in school how to calculate and how to add and how to subtract. But she has some fleshly wisdom. Amen. I have degrees myself. I have all kinds of certificates and degrees, and I have a Bible degree. I have degrees in mechanical stuff and all that. So, you know, I've got fleshly wisdom too, but that's not what I need. I don't rejoice in that. Amen. It's good to have those things. You can have a job and you get a paycheck if you got some fleshly wisdom. But that's not the one when it comes to biblical things. In our spiritual walk, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war with our flesh. Amen. And we certainly don't war with fleshly things. And so it's to be a spiritual walk and spiritual weapons. Verse number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, back there, the Bible says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So every day when you get up, you have a battle for your mind, you have a battle for your life. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about the battle for your soul. That's been taken care of. We rejoice in that. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. The devil can't get my soul, but he can still get my body. He can still get my life if I'm overtaken by the sin and the temptation that I fall for. Amen. So we have to be careful with that. Notice, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. The Bible says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And so the devil comes at us and attacks us every day of our life. Amen? Paul says in the book of Ephesians, "Put on the whole armor of God." Don't you leave one piece of that armor off. You put the whole thing on. Why do I need to wear the whole armor? Because you've got a full battle to fight. Amen? The devil's going to come at you at any angle he can come at you. He's going to try to attack you in any way he can attack you. The helmet of salvation doesn't talk about salvation of the soul, because we've got that settled. Amen? The helmet of salvation for the believer is the saving. It goes on the head. So it's the saving of the mind. Keep your mind focused on the things of the Lord. What's what you say and what's how you say things to people. Be careful how you approach people. Amen. And be careful have you received things that's been said to you. Amen. Notice again in what the Bible says in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, "Casting down imaginations." One of the worst things that can happen to you in your Christian life is imagining that somebody don't like you. Imagining that, well, I seen them over there in the corner. They was talking. They had to be talking about me. Casting down those imaginations. That's what it's talking about. Amen? When your mind runs away from you. Well, the preacher and them men, they was over there talking. They snoked. I'll tell you what I think they're talking about. And then here goes this imagination. It goes to running wild, you know? And it could be something totally different. We might be talking about golfing or grass mowing or fishing or something. Who knows? But that imagination, if you're not careful, it runs away with you. Amen? That's where a lot of church problems start, and a lot of problems in the believer's life starts with that imagination. How do I know that? How do I know that's important to be careful what you think? Is because it's written in the Word of God to cast down those imaginations. Let me give you another example of casting down imagination is whenever a married man sees a pretty woman and that mind begins to run away. Let me say this according to the book of Proverbs. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. Amen? Yeah, she might be pretty, but she might be stupid too. This is redneck preaching tonight, so y'all just deal with it. Amen. Just because she's pretty don't mean she can cook. Amen. But the devil puts that bait out there before the man. If she's half dressed, first of all, she's a harlot. If it's not for sale, why are you advertising it? Amen. And so these ladies are used of the devil to get a man's imagination to running away with him. And I can promise you those acts of sin that takes place in fornication and adultery, that doesn't just happen. It's a mind thing. It enters into the mind gate and the mind begins to think about how we can get away with that. What I should do and how I can make this come to pass because I think it's a great idea. And then whenever it's come to pass, it's not such a great idea. I have proof of that in the Bible where Amnon went to his sister Tamar. And the Bible says that he lay with her. He thought it was a good idea. And then after the fact, after that sin has been committed and he's overtaken in the fault of sin, after that's over with, the Bible says that Amnon hated her as much as he first loved her. Because it was not what he thought it was going to be. It was worse after the fact than it was before it took place. And so that imagination had run wild. And he allowed his imagination to run wild. David was just as guilty. His daddy was just as guilty when he allowed his imagination to run wild. When he looked out the window and saw this beautiful woman out there bathing herself. When he should have been on the battlefield instead of where he was at. He's already out of place. And then he lets his mind begin to run away with him. Oh, how great that would be to be a part of my collection. And so he commits the acts of sin. And then he finds himself, as you study the Bible, you find that David's his imagination ran wild. And he committed an act of sin. And then he figures he's going to cover it up. So here's that imagination. It's still running away with him. And he tries to cover it up. He puts Uriah right on the front line and kills her husband. Brings him in, tries to get him off the field so he can blame everything that happens whenever the child is conceived. He's going to blame it on the husband. His imagination is running around. He's trying to figure all this out. So the problem with all that equation is he sinned and he left God out of the whole thing. He's away from God. He's not in fellowship with God. Psalms 32 is a psalm that David wrote, penned down and wrote those words. And he said that he was literally drying up. There was a drought in his life. That drought was because his imagination run wild and sin was conceived in his life and he was trying to cover it up. From 2 Samuel chapter 11 to 2 Samuel chapter number 12, it's a period of about a year and 2 months that took place. That's the time that David was trying to cover up his sin. And in the process of that, his children are gone crazy. They're sinning left and sinning right. Absalom trying to kill him. Amnon's committing these ugly acts of sin with his daughter. All these things are going crazy because David had sinned against God. And the sword, the Bible says, the sword of David's sin was on his house. So whenever you and I sin, commit an act of sin, whatever that sin is, it don't just affect us, but it affects everybody around us. My sin affects my home. A man that is overtaken in a fault that sees some pretty bait walking out there and falls for that, the devil don't just ruin him, but it ruins the family. It ruins, there's been many homes ruined because the imagination wasn't taken into captivity. It was allowed to run wild. And that imagination, listen, the mind's a powerful thing. Amen? It's a very powerful thing. You can sit there and be just as healthy as a horse and think that you're sick. And you can literally make yourself sick just thinking that you're sick. I used to try that and try to get out of school. That didn't ever work out too well. But I wasn't a real strong thinker, I don't guess. But... But you can think yourself sick. You can think yourself to feeling well. That's a lot of times when we really are sick and we sit and think, man, I can get up and do this. I feel so much better. I can get up and do this. And we take 2 steps across the room and up and then a puff and say, I fooled myself. I can't. I'm not able. Especially if you've had COVID. I walk across the room before COVID. I had COVID before COVID was cool. I had it, I guess it was January last year that I was sick, and I didn't get diagnosed because, like I said, COVID wasn't cool. They didn't know nothing about it. But I would walk across the living room floor, and I would be so far out of breath. I mean, I was literally gasping for air. Burned up with a fever for 3 days, and you could have fried eggs and bacon and sausage and all kinds of stuff on me. Man, I was just, that's how hot it was. But I thought myself healthy. And then on the third day, I said, I can't stand, I've got to get off this couch. And I walked to the kitchen to get me something to drink, and I thought, I can't do this. My imagination sitting there thinking about that, boy, I'm a man, I can get up and go. On the fourth day, I got up and went, and I wished I'd have stayed home. But I thought myself, well, I can get up and go. And so the imagination can make you do crazy things. And so God says in His Word that the greatest thing that we can do is learn to cast down those imaginations. Those acts of sin. I picked on the men about men seeing things and their imagination run wild, but women's imagination runs wild too. Fabio's got to be the ugliest man I've ever saw. Fabio, whatever his name is. That long-haired, hippie-looking thing. And listen, women just, oh, he's the cutest thing. Ain't he so good looking? No, he looks like he needs a haircut. Looks like Absalom. That man needs a haircut. Amen. And if he ain't careful, he'll get his hair hung in a tree and the mule will walk on. Amen. Y'all read that, right? Absalom, long hair, got hung in a tree, and the mule walked on. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. It's not just men, amen. Men and women both, they have that temptation. Now, let me say this real quickly tonight. When I'm talking about the sexual sins, and when those things come at you as temptation, it's no sin to be tempted. Amen? Whenever you see something like that and you're tempted of that, it's no sin to be tempted. When the sin comes in is whenever you go after that. When you want to conceive that sin. You want to follow that lust. And whenever you begin to follow after that, and your mind begins to run wild, you can sin in your mind. You know what the Bible says to the men? And I'm sure it applies to the women too. That if you think it in your mind, you're just as guilty as committing an act. Why did he say that? Because your mind has already thought it. You've already put yourself in that position. You've already conceive that in your heart, and you've lusted enough to go that far with it. So he warns us in his Bible, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The devil wants to destroy every family that he can, and he does that a lot of times, especially in younger couples. I can't really say that he don't do it in older couples, because he does. I knew a couple that was in our church, that visited our church, was in their 80s. The husband was 85, and I think the wife was 83, something like that. They fought and fussed like children. And every time not every time you met them, but most of the time when you met them, they was fussing and fighting with each other. Lord help, they 80 years old. That's the time to love one another. Y'all about to get out of here, amen? I'm not trying to put them in the grave, but they're 80-some years old. You're on the promise, 70 years old, according to the Bible. You've lived your life. Would you shut up and quit fighting with each other? Just overlook it, for heaven's sake. You're missing the blessings of the Lord. You're coming to church, but yet you fight all the way home. They would fight literally. They called me a couple of times. Just leave the church house and get home and on the phone with preacher. I'm telling you, I'm going to call the law on him. Really? I mean, I was just behooved by their attitudes and their actions. And I tried to help them. I said, y'all just need to grow up. You don't have much time left to get that done in. Amen. But their imagination, they was accusing each other of things that never happened. And their imagination was just running away with them. And I tried to give them this verse of scripture and tried to help them, get your mind right. And they never did get right. They actually got mad at me, left the church. And, I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. I can tell you that. I'm your enemy if I don't say nothing to you and tell you lies. Then I'm your enemy. But as long as I'm telling you the truth, I'm not your enemy. Amen. And so here we find that God has given us a warning as believers. He's given us a warning to cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Our flesh likes to exalt itself. Amen? God never told us anywhere to exalt ourselves. But He did say to humble yourselves. Amen? And And don't think that you're somebody special. Don't think you're some super Christian. Oh, preacher, I would never do that. I'd never have that kind of thought. Well, you're lying to yourself and everybody that's listening. Because your flesh is wicked. Amen? You was born in sin, and you still carry with you, although you're saved, you still carry with you that sinful nature. Don't tell me that you won't do that, because you're just as capable as anybody else. So don't think yourself too highly. Amen? Don't exalt yourself. I think we talked about that a few weeks back, about exalting ourselves and thinking that we wouldn't do such a thing. Oh yeah, a lot of people's done it. Amen? A lot of pastors run off with the piano players. That's why my cousin and my daughter's piano players. Amen. Got quiet there, but Miss Carolyn's my third cousin, okay? And Christine's my daughter, in case anybody didn't know that. that's why they play the piano. Not that I have a problem with it, amen. I don't let my mind run away with me. That's a hard job. Men, say amen right there. That's a hard job. I mean, you ain't got to do anything. Just go to the grocery store, dress a lot of kinds of ways, and the devil tries to put all kinds of temptations out there. Sometimes I get tickled at them. I mean, I've got to the point now I just laugh about it. Can you believe they dress like that? Sometimes I'll punch my wife and say, did you see how they, you believe they'd come out in public looking like that? If I looked like that, I wouldn't even get in front of the mirror. But they think that looks good and they want to flaunt it. But anyway, but that's the wickedness of the world. Amen. The flesh is wicked. You know why people act and do that? That's lost because they're walking in the flesh. They're operating out of the fleshly wisdom, and they're looking like morons, which is a biblical word meaning foolish. And they're walking before us looking like that and thinking that they're trying to achieve something great. The Bible teaches us as believers, don't be like that. We're not of this world. Amen? We walk in this flesh, but we're not of this world. Amen? And the weapons that we have are not carnal weapons. It's not our tongue. It's not a fleshly thing that we use. It's not our fists that we bust them in the nose like we want to sometimes. It's not in our hands that we choke the eyeballs out of them. Those are fleshly weapons. Amen? And a lot of times we like to get a hold of them we'd like to. God said, that's not your weapon. Your weapon is not carnal, but it's by the grace of God, through the power of God, amen, that you put on the whole armor and you battle these temptations and battle all this stuff by casting down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself of the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you have that thought, I like to choke the snot out of them. Is that obedient to Christ? Absolutely not. Bring that into captivity, amen? I like to punch him in the nose. Is that obedient? No, it's not. What would Christ do? Well, if they're wanting to slap you and beat you up and all that kind of stuff, what would Christ do? Probably walk away from it. Pray for them. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying that God will help you to have some common sense before you swing at me. But it's those things that we think, our imagination runs wild. And some of those times whenever we have those thoughts, amen, when the temptation's there, well, I wonder how that would be if that lady was my wife. I wonder if that family was my family. Is that obedient to Christ? Absolutely not. You're coveting your neighbor's wife. Amen. You're coveting after things that you're lusting after things that God didn't give you that belongs to somebody else. Is that obedient to Christ? No, it's not. Casting down those imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. My thought life ought to be obedient to what Christ has taught me. To be humble and be thankful. To rejoice that my soul won't die in hell. Amen? And burn in hell for all eternity. Rejoice in the fact that I'm saved. That I have a Savior. Be thankful that I have a Savior. Be thankful that God gave me a family. Amen. Be thankful that I have the things that God's blessed me with. Don't look at somebody else and say, boy, I wish I had that. Be thankful for what you have. Amen. Be content with such things as you have. That's Bible. Bringing those thoughts into captivity, amen, and to the obedience of Christ. So we walk in this flesh, but we have a battle in this flesh. But we don't use our tongue, we don't use our fists, we don't use our body to war against. We have spiritual weapons. I got to hurry, all right? The goal is to bring every intellectual argument, all the human reasoning, all the philosophy, bring it captive to the truth of Scripture. The world that we're living in right now is so full of human reasoning. Well, we can't leave them out. We've got to include them. LGBTQ, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever else they want to put in there. We got to include them. We can't leave them out. That's discrimination. That's human reasoning. That's what that is. The Bible still calls those sexual sins sin. Amen. Those who commit those acts of sin are still sinners. Amen. And committing acts of sins, that's against nature. The Bible teaches us that. It's against nature. Having an affection that's not natural is against the things that God has taught us in Scripture. All right? So, I mean, this human reason all around us and the philosophy of this world, but our goal is to bring all of that captive to the truth of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? Amen. And that's where we stand. This is done by the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 again, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The weapons of this warfare are not carnal, verse number 4, but they're mighty through God. You can stand and fist fight with somebody all day long if you want to, but you're not going to win them as quickly as you would. Even if you beat them, you're still not going to win them. But if you use the Word of God and teach them what thus saith the Word of God, humble yourselves and tell them what God says in His Word and try to teach them truth, you'll win more that way than you will trying to fight them in the flesh. Amen? I'm going to tell them what I think. Well, don't. Tell them what God said. Amen? I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, hold on to that. You're going to need it when you get older. Amen? Tell them what God said in His Word. This is what God says. That God says that I'm to turn the other cheek. And if they slap you on the other cheek, well, I done turned once. It's on now, big boy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, we're having a good time tonight, aren't we? 2 Corinthians, there are several passages where the Apostle Paul was attacked by the enemy concerning his conduct. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15 through 24, when he was planning to come to the believers in Corinth and then to Macedonia, he was attacked by his conduct. His enemy was assailing him and concerning the things that he was doing. The enemies of Paul used that against him to discredit him. The enemy or unbelievers are always at work to destroy the work of God. The unbelievers, our enemy, Satan, the world, the flesh, is always trying to discredit the things of God and to destroy that. Paul defends his actions and his attitude. The reason he didn't go to Corinth was because he didn't want to bring more pain to the church. They were lacking in their use of disciplinary actions. We talked about that with the one that was committing the act of sin there, and they didn't do anything about it. But his conduct was thought of as being insincere. You study that passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and where he was planning to go, but then he didn't go to the church there at Corinth. He had a reason for that, and his reason was because of their actions, the things they were doing. Amen. So his conduct was thought of as being insincere, but he was not playing games. Paul was serious. You guys in the church, and I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about the church at Corinth. Paul was saying to them, you're not sincere in what you're doing. If you're allowing that sin to run rampant in the church and you don't care, you don't do anything about it, then you're not sincere in what you're doing. Paul says, I'm not coming until you get your heart right with God. You get that sin out of the camp, you deal with that and deal with it as God says deal with. You bring those imaginations and all those thoughts of against the things of God, you bring that into the truth of the Scripture and deal with that, then I'll come and help you. Then I'll come and see you. Amen. He was serious. He wasn't a game player. Nowhere in these verses is there permission or an applied need to learn the thoughts of the enemy before we can bring them into captivity. You don't have to wonder why or figure out why they're doing what they're doing. Amen? Bring those thoughts of the enemy. Bring that stuff into captivity. The Bible says that the flesh has no good thing. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, we know that. And the flesh cannot understand the things of God. It's foolishness to those of the flesh. Amen? The things of God, the foolishness of the unbeliever. And the flesh can't understand those things. Amen. So the weapons that we have are not fleshly. They're not natural thinking. It's not natural emotion. It's not human reasoning. But our weapons, Ephesians chapter 6, are the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's knowledge and understanding of the Scripture. The sword of the Spirit. Look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Flip back over there. Ephesians chapter number 6. Verse number 17, the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation, again now, it's not talking about salvation of the soul. That helmet goes on the head. It's talking about the mind. Bringing that mind into captivity. Amen? The helmet of salvation, put that thing on every day. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit is having knowledge and understanding of Scripture. That's our offense. Amen? Y'all know much about football and athletic games? That's our offense. Amen? Having the knowledge of the Word of God. The shield of faith. We also have the shield of faith, which is believing those Scriptures. Verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How can you do that? That shield of faith is believing the Scripture. It's one thing to have them and have some knowledge and some understanding of what they mean, but it's a whole other thing to believe them. Amen? So we can, as the Scripture says, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked if we take that shield of faith. And that shield of faith is believing those Scriptures. I have faith in the Word of God that everything God tells me is real. It's true. It's absolute truth. There's no question in my heart, there's no question in my mind that God's Word is not true. Amen? So that's my shield of faith. How do I battle those things that come at me? How do I battle the thoughts in my mind? Because I believe the Word of God. God said He'd never leave me, never forsake me. He'd always be there for me. He supplied my every need. Amen? Every need. And if I have Christ, I have all I need. Amen? And He supplied it all in Christ. I don't need anything else. And if I focus my mind on the Word of God and on the will of God and the work of God, I don't have time for anything else to enter in. Amen? Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the knowledge and understanding of Scripture, offense, the shield of faith, believing those Scriptures is our defense. And we're protected by the full armor of God. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. When I talk about all these things coming at you and tempting you, listen, we can fight those fiery darts of the wicked. We can defeat that. Amen? We don't have to be victims of circumstance. Believers in the churches don't have to be victims of circumstances. Amen? They don't have to be victims that their family's destroyed because the husband's mind ran away with him and he didn't bring it into captivity. Or the wife's mind ran away with her and she didn't bring it into captivity. That you don't have to be victims. We can be victors. Amen? I'd much rather be a victor than a victim. Amen? I put on that whole armor every day when I get up. Put that whole armor on. I bring my mind into captivity. I listen to the Word of God. I read the Word of God. And I hear what the Word of God is saying to my heart and to my mind. And I meditate on that throughout the day. Whenever those fiery darts come at me, I can defeat that because I believe what I read in His Word to be true. Right. See how that works? Ain't that good stuff? I'm telling you that like a Presbyterian said, if you ever got a hold of it. I'm glad I've got a weapon, amen. It's not my Glock. Now, if I have to use it, I'll use it. I'm not scared to use it. That's why I have it. But that's not what I battle against every day. The battle's for my mind. The battle is for my family, for my character. The devil wants to destroy your character just as much as he wants to destroy your mind. You snap off at somebody, you have a bad attitude. I'm talking about your family. It ain't got to be somebody you don't know. I'm talking about close family members. You snap off and be cruel, be mean, be hateful. What kind of testimony is that? Is Christ pleased with that? Is that obedient to Christ's Word? Absolutely not. Whew, having a good time now, ain't we? Love the Word of God. We can defeat that, though. How can I defeat? Humble yourself. Amen? Humble yourself. Under the mighty hand of God. God has allowed you to be who you are and what you are. Gave you what you have. You'd have nothing without God. You'd be a beggar, amen? Begging for somebody to give you some bread if it hadn't been for God. Humble ourselves. Lord, if we get a hold of that, that'll help us, amen? Humble ourselves before God and thank Him for what He's done and where He's brought us from and where He's taken us to. And we shout about that all the time. But, I mean, let that sink in for a little bit whenever somebody says something or does something that upsets you. That human reasoning and all that. And you want to attack. Don't do that. What did God say? Well, God said for me to humble myself. God said for me to get my mind under captivity and to bring that thing into subjection to the obedience of Christ. God told me to put on the whole armor of God that I could withstand those fiery darts. Amen. I'm about ready to preach. This is good stuff. The enemy wants to destroy us. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. Every day we're protected by that full armor. We have the offense, the shield of, the sword of the Spirit is our offense. Then we have the shield of faith being our defense, believing the Scriptures. And then we're protected by the full armor of God, praying always. It is not possible to learn all the subtle arguments of the enemy. And I don't want to. I don't want to argue with none of them. Amen. What is possible, however, is a knowledge of truth through having the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. What's possible? To be full of the knowledge of God? Yeah, that's possible. Can we have the mind of God? No, but we can have the knowledge that God's given us. And He's written it in His Word. This is what God wants us to know. Right. Amen? He wrote down everything He wants you to learn. Right. Give you everything you needed. We can have that. Amen? Believe that. What's possible is a knowledge of truth. Having the mind of Christ. And having that, that will make us sufficient. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It makes us sufficient for all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Can I have that? Can I have that mind? Can I have that mindset that the preacher talks about that keeps me from flaring up and keeps me from being hateful or keeps me from being well-pleasing to the Lord by being hateful? Do I have problems with looking at things on the internet? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at the men in churches that have problems with pornography. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many women have problems with that. They've done studies, and I haven't looked at a recent study because, I detest that. I hate that. But people let their mind run away, and they're overtaken with that. Can I have the mind that is well-pleasing unto the Lord? Absolutely. We have the mind of Christ. We just got to learn to use it. Amen. Saturate it with the Word of God. Amen. I hope this is a help to you tonight. Hope it helps you to have a better week. Amen. Hope you have a great week, what's left of it. And I hope you have a good week looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Because He's a coming soon. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord.